That's where I want to go, to that city where the roses never fade. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I do thank all of you for being here. We do have some visitors, and we do welcome you and hope you'll come back every chance you get, because you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. I do ask you to follow along with me, because I never want you to take my word nor take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. If you would, we'll start by opening our Bibles to John, the 17th chapter. John chapter 17. Now on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, as he gathered with his apostles in what is known as the Last Supper, Jesus prayed these beautiful words in John 17, verses 20 and 21. He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Our faith in Jesus today is based upon the words of the apostles, which they delivered as directed by the Lord. Now we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. Consequently, our Lord's prayer included us. We are part of those who have believed on him through their word. All of us are included in his words, that they all may be one. Just look around, brethren. Look around. Those claiming to worship Jesus are not all one. As a matter of fact, according to some statistics, there is as many as 400 to 2,000 different denominations, and some say as many 20,000 different denominations in this country alone, each one claiming to follow Christ, yet each one distinct and different from all the others. Does that sound like that they may be one to you? A lot of folks think that that situation is just fine, healthy, in fact, some of them say, but please take note that is not what our Lord Jesus prayed for. Instead of saying, like so many people do today, just join the church of your choice, Jesus prayed for unity. The whole system of denominationalism that exists today is based upon division, and who can deny it? No one can deny that today all denominations are based upon division. It is directly opposite for that which the Lord prayed for. Think about it. It's the opposite of which he prayed for. But what can be done about it? Well, is there a cure for this spiritual sickness that had led to denominations? Yes, there is a cure, and the Lord has given it to us. There is only one place that you can find it, and that is in his word. If you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2. Now, hundreds of years before the church was established, the prophet spoke of it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2 and read verses 2 and 3. "Now there we find, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Just exactly what was this house of God? Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 15. First Timothy 3 and verse 15. Here Paul clearly identified the church in 1 Timothy 3:15, but he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God," now listen now, "which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." That's what the house of God or the church is. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. Isaiah was speaking of the church. It was to begin in Jerusalem. It was to be in the last days, which we're living in now, and would be composed of all nations. It was to begin by teaching the Word of God sounding forth from Jerusalem. Jesus told His apostles in Matthew 16:18, I will build My church. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. When you get there, we're going to read verse 1. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Jesus is saying that some will be living when His church, the church of Christ, is established, not some 600 years later when the Catholic Church was established, or even some 1,500 years later when the first denominational church was established. No, He is saying some living that day will see the kingdom of God or the church come with power. That day they're speaking of there in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, He met with the apostles and He told them to wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That is found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Now please follow along with me if you will. Turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Acts. First chapter of Acts. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's another telling of the same time. We find Jesus telling them, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. If we continue on in the book of Acts, we'll find in chapter 2 and verse 4, the apostles being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, brethren, here comes that power. In Acts 2, verse 16 and 17, we find Peter exclaiming, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days of God. Those people had been waiting for this for thousands of years. They knew it was coming. Can you imagine being in that crowd and you hear Peter say, This is that day. That day has come, he's saying. Peter continued on and preached that Jesus was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne, Lord and Christ of all, which is found in Acts 2, verses 25 through 36. Now, some of the people believed, and they asked what to do in verse 37 of Acts 2. Peter's response was in verse 38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, what happened? Well, in verse 41, we read, Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If you look down in verse 47, we find praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thus everything is tied together, brethren. It is in Jerusalem, in the last day, during the lifetime of the apostles. The word of God is preached. People are told the terms of salvation and the house of God, according to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, which we just read, that house of God, the church, was established. That is exactly as the prophets and our Lord Jesus foretold it. My friends, the church that Jesus built is the bride of Christ, as illustrated in Ephesians chapter 5. Of it, Jesus is the head and the Savior. The church was purchased with His own blood, our Lord's blood, according to Acts 20 and verse 28, and the promised kingdom over which Jesus is the King. Now I want you to notice carefully with me, if you would. Notice carefully. Jesus built one church, not churches. He is the husband of one bride, not brides. He is the head of the church, which is His body, not bodies. And He is the King and His kingdom, not kingdoms. I must ask then, why all of these denominations? Why are all these denominations here? Why all of these other churches that Jesus did not build? Well, I'd like for you to come with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to come with me because it shows us that the Apostle Paul had found at Corinth a situation that's very similar to the denominations of today. Now, some were following Paul, others were following Peter, still others were following Apollos. In other words, on a smaller scale, they were dividing into denominations, each one just another of many. Let's look at what Paul told them in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Did you notice what Paul commanded? Yes, he commanded. He didn't suggest. He commanded that there be no divisions among you. That is exactly what the Lord prayed for back in John 17. You remember? He prayed that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us. That's what he prayed for. But now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. Some vitally important questions are asked. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? These rhetorical questions go right to the heart of the matter. First, is Christ divided? You see, brethren and friends, when we divide the church, we divide Christ. But Christ cannot be divided into denominations believing, teaching, and practicing different things, for then Christ can't even agree with himself. What a tragedy. Let's look again. Is Christ divided? Well, Jesus prayed for the unity of all believers, all of them. He commands the unity of all believers, everyone. This question must be faced today just as those believers in Corinth had to face it. To face the question honestly today will utterly destroy denominationalism, and that is exactly what the Lord prayed for in John 17. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Now, he asked, was Paul crucified for you? Hebrews 2 and verse 9 tells us, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Jesus came into this world to die for us, not for Paul, not for Peter, not for Luther, not for Calvin, nor any other man. Jesus died for us, all men. It was because of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, as we read about in Romans 1 and verse 4. But why would Paul ask this question in the first place? Because some were following Paul. Some were following him. The point is, we do not have the right to follow anyone who is not crucified for us, and only Jesus had done that. In other words, Paul is telling us, don't follow any man. That is what brought about all denominations, and that is what keeps them going. Following the doctrines and traditions of men, once again, as I usually start my sermons, I ask you not to take my word, don't take any man's word, only the word of God. That's what Paul is saying. Now, he also asked, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, why would he even bring up baptism, you may ask? Because it is the action in which we are united with Christ. Look at Romans 6 with me, please. In Romans 6 and verse 3, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Oh, my friends, until a person is baptized into Christ, he is not in Christ. That's the only way you can get into Christ, is to be baptized into Christ. But the question brings up another very important truth. Baptism is essentially into some name. So when a person is baptized into a denomination, he wears that name, does he not? When one is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, he wears that name, does he not? No, Christ is not divided. He is the one who died for us, and we were baptized in his name. I want to go back to John 17, if you would, with me, please. I want you to, do you remember in the beginning of this lesson? We read together the Lord's beautiful prayer for unity to the Father. I want to read that again. Listen to these words of Jesus from John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Can anyone hear those words and read those words and come away doubting that the dividing of believers is wrong? My friends, it isn't just that denominationalism brings about confusion. It is deplorable. It is sin. It is sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verse 14 and 16, 14 through 16. Now the Apostle Paul wrote these words about the Lord Jesus in verse 14. He said, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Verse 16. "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Can't we all see the reconciliation to God in the one body, not in 400 or 2,000 or 20,000, whatever it is? And that one body is identified in the Scripture as the church that Jesus built, the church of Christ. I want to reread verse 16. "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." This is what he's saying. Did you notice there in verse 16, he said if two bodies, he's talking about churches, two bodies, churches, one for the Jew and one for the Gentile. He said if they were not tolerated in the first century, why should we conclude that more than one church is acceptable today? Think about what he's saying there. Think about it. The Bible hasn't changed. Jesus not only prayed for and commanded the unity of believers, he showed the attitudes we needed to accomplish it. Let's stay in Ephesians, if we will, and go over to chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 6. Chapter 4, 1 through 6. Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." This is a plea from Paul to have unity and oneness in the congregation. Mind you, when he wrote this, there were no denominations in Paul's days. He prayed that the Jews and Gentiles would live in peace. When a person's attitude is right, you won't find them preaching, "Join the church of your choice," any more than you'll find them preaching, "Believing in the God of your choice." I think about that passage. And you notice, did you notice the ones there? One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We don't have a choice of faith, nor of bodies. nor of baptism, nor of lords. There is only one of each. To the denominational world of today, Jesus is still saying, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you'll turn with me. Now, to be in Christ, we must all submit to the same authority, that is, of the Lord Jesus. He said in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This is the very one who said, I will build my church. This is the same one who added into the church daily such as should be saved. Now, really, think about it. Really, if we submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, what church are we going to be in? We're going to be in His church. His church, the only church you read about in the New Testament, the church of Christ. He never offered a choice between ways to get to heaven. Never, never. But He did say this in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That should be a sobering thought if you're not a faithful Christian, or if you're not a Christian. So, brethren and friends, Jesus didn't come here to establish a wide range of religious doctrines. He didn't come here desiring that you pick and choose the one that is most comfortable for you. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, which we just read, Jesus said the way to please God is not wide and broad, but it is straight, it is narrow, it is difficult. And Jesus alone has a right to define it regardless of how much we may not like it. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Wrong may seem right, and right may seem wrong to many of us in times of these evil days. But we have a perfect norm to stabilize us. That standard is the Bible. That standard is the Bible. God's holy word. Your New Testament shows that Jesus never set in order the current climate of join the church of your choice, but He established His church based upon His directions alone. Throughout the New Testament, we can find the name, the organization, the rule, the mission, and the functions of the church that Jesus died for, and it's not the modern-day denominational group created by bylaws and feelings of men. So please, brethren and friends, stand on the old book till death, and the richest reward of all time will be yours eternally. So I want to ask you this question. Where and when will we stop trying to live as close to the fire of hell as we can without getting burned? Where and when will we take a stance for excellence in behavior and for being the best that we can be? But you know what the problem is? People want to wait. They want a better day. They want a better time. They think of every excuse under the sun to keep from coming to God now. Why? Just give the credit where credit is due. It's the devil. It's the devil. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, he says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Apostle Peter commands us in Acts 2:38. Simple. 29 simple words. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 29 different words. Terms of salvation are right there. So God says, now is the day, now is the time, now is the moment. Seize it. Make it your time. If you've been saying later, stop it. Do it now. Do it right now. I beg you and I plead with you to come forward as we sing the invitation song, come forward and obey the commands of King Jesus. You do that by confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. repenting of your sins, and then being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And as we always say again, you'll rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. And brethren, friends, if this is the day that Jesus comes back, we'll all go home together. That's what we're here for. We'll all go home together. Won't that be wonderful? It may be that some of you have fallen away. You have a wonderful chance right now to take care of that. And you do that by repenting to God first and coming forward. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be in good standing in the church once again in Jesus' body. Can we help anybody? Remember, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Everything. Think about it. Please come now as we stand and as we sing. We can help you in any way.